This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
So, who's happy to be here this morning? Good. Great. Okay, so it seems like it's 90%. That's good, because I'm also happy to be here this morning. I'm really excited about what God wants to say to us. This week has been one of those where God confirms his word every single day. And at intercession, I said, I don't know, Pilane ran away. I don't know what happened to him, but he was going to lead intercession on Tuesday. And so just to give you an idea that God spoke to us now for a while about fixing our eyes on Jesus. And I think Moldy confirmed it again, and it was confirmed on Sunday at the service. And so on Tuesday, Pilane was going to lead intercession, but then his car got, trapped. He said his car got trapped, so he couldn't come. So I said to him, okay, just send me the word that you felt for intercession. And so he sent the exact same word, Hebrews 1:12, verse 1 to 2, which is fix your eyes on Jesus. So I said to the guys at intercession, okay, if God confirms something one or twice, then I'm like, okay, God is speaking to me. But when it keeps on coming, then I get nervous because I'm missing something. Like, he's speaking to me, he's speaking to us as a church, and I'm like, I know he says, fix your eyes on Jesus, but what does that mean, and how am I missing this? Okay, so I really started praying, and the more I started praying, the more God confirmed it. The Wednesday, the Thursday at our small group, we sang, keep our eyes on Jesus. I was just like, Lord, okay, now we have to stop this. Okay, because I actually don't know. But why I'm sharing this with you is because I'm so excited because God is speaking. He's not silent. He's interested. And he's speaking to us and he's saying, fix your eyes on Jesus. Okay? He's saying, fix your eyes on Jesus. So I got stuck on that phrase because if you hear it all the time, now you're like, okay, I better know what this means. Okay? I better know what this means. So I said, okay, how can I fix my eyes on Jesus? It's not like Jesus is standing here, right? Okay? There's some people that have seen Jesus. I mean, I think when you've seen Jesus, you're not going to stand anymore. You'll probably be on your face, okay? Because there's fire in his eyes, and this is nothing that can compare to him. But how can we as believers fix our eyes on Jesus? We fix our eyes on Jesus and what he has given us. And what is that? We fix our eyes on the word. Okay? So when you go read John 1, it says that the word became flesh and dwell among us. I remember a few years back I had to preach on Jesus as the cornerstone. And as I was preparing, God clearly spoke to me and he said, this is Jesus. This is Jesus. And you cannot say that you love Jesus, but you don't love his word. And that hit me because I love Jesus, but I never read the word. Not never, but I mean, I wasn't in love with the word. So I realized, oh my God, if God says, fix your eyes on Jesus, he's saying, fix your eyes on my word. Fix your eyes on my word. Now I want to just hear by you. Who of you, when you read this, don't actually understand what's going on? Okay? I mean, if you're not putting up your hand, you'll pray for you afterwards because you're lying. You know, I'm joking. Sorry, Pam. So many times we read this word and we don't really know what's going on, okay? Or we read it, but our mind is somewhere else, okay? That happens to me often, okay? But I feel that God is saying to us, the reason why he's keep on confirming it, fix your eyes on Jesus, is because he wants our eyes to be open to his word. I believe we are in a place where our eyes are still closed to his word. We have no idea how powerful God's word is. We have no idea what is given us to walk by and to live by. So this morning we're going to talk about opening our eyes to God's word. Okay? Now, my first point is, if you don't believe me, I just always have to have some proof. You can read the word and still not see. okay? So there's some theologians and so on. They read the word, they study it, they know everything, but they don't see. They are stuck. They are stuck in law. They are stuck in their ways. And where do we see that? In Matthew 23, Jesus speaks to the Pharisees and he said to, say to them, who have studied the word, who knows the word, he says to them, you blind fools, you blind guides. He uses that word, you blind. They don't see. They don't see God's word. They don't make it part of them. They don't live by it. They do like religious stuff and they're like, yo, we follow Jesus, but they're not living and seeing what God is showing them. Now, the exciting news this morning is that God wants us to see. And when we see, we're not going to be able to keep it to ourselves. When we see, we're not going to be able to stay the same. Okay? Just to motivate you a bit. Okay, cool. Let's get to scripture, because that's what it's all about. Matthew 13, verse 15. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Now, I know you didn't listen the first time. I'm gonna read it again. For this people's hearts have become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. You see, where the start is by seeing. We see God's word for what it is. Our eyes are open to see. The next is we understand. We understand. We read it and we're like, oh my hat. This is what God is saying. I mustn't lie, for instance. The next one is we turn. So we've seen God's word. We understood it. We had a revelation of what's going on here. Then we turn from where we were. And what happens then? We are healed. Do you know, the problem with us and in the church and in our community today is that many of us are walking around so burdened, so, you know, not healed mentally, physically, emotionally. Because why? Because we don't turn. Because we don't understand. Because we don't see. That's what God is saying today. I want to open your eyes to see. I want to open your eyes to see me. Because when you really see me, understanding comes. You cannot stay the same. You see, there are many of us who might be saved and in church for so long, but our lives does not reflect it. Why? Because we never really saw what Jesus did. It's just a story that we like to tell and that we even believe in, but it's never changed me. Why not? Because when I saw, I didn't understand. I just heard a story. When I really see what Jesus has done, it does things to me. My heart cannot stay the same. My life cannot stay the same. And when I hear and I understand, when I see and I understand, I turn away. Have you heard of people who changed in one day? Turn away from their sins. They understood something. Yes, it can take a few years. I'm not saying we must all change to be perfect in one day. God works in us, but there's a turning. So what I like about this is, or let me just first tell you a story. Like a few years ago, say before I came here, I was in Ronnebosch, and on Wednesday afternoons, we did deliverance sessions with people. And it was awesome. Like, we will see two or three people on a Wednesday afternoon. And before they come, we'll pray for them. Okay? So it's like 40 minutes, we're just praying for this person. Every time, Jesus will show us his incredible love. It's never about, you know, the sin or whatever. It's always about his love for that person. And that freaked me out to this day. When that person walks into that door, I'm so overwhelmed by Jesus' love for that person. I just want to tell you today, Jesus is not saying open your eyes because, hello, you've been blind for too long. He's saying open your eyes because I love you. I have something for you. But those people that came for deliverance, they actually saw. They actually understood that there is something in my life that's not right, and I am so sick and tired of it. I'm so sick and tired of living in this way, and they decide to turn. But sometimes there's something that holds us. There's something that has become like a bondage in us. It's so like hard in our minds. We cannot actually just pray and it goes away. We have to have deliverance. Like Jesus said, go and cast out demons. It's not like something that just happens in the other side of the world. It's something that happens in our lives. We need to get rid of strongholds in our lives. Okay, I'm not talking about deliverance today, but just wanted to know. Okay? So the people will come into us, not into us, into the room, and we pray. We pray every single week, God does something different. Every single week, God shows us exactly what we must do. And this one time, this lady came in and she was a dancer. And we're praying and we never really prayed like, go out in Jesus' name. It was never really like that. This time, God says to us, this lady must dance. Okay? Now remember, she saw, she understood, she's ready to turn. She didn't come in there and like, oh, I don't know how to deal with this, just help me someone. No, she came in there and she said, I need to be set free. I'm tired of this thing. So God says dance. So there she goes. She starts to dance. Now I'm watching her. Now I've seen her dance many times before, but she's dancing in a weird way. Like, it doesn't look nice, actually. It's just funny dancing. Dancing, dancing, dancing. The next moment, something breaks. And that lady begins to dance like I've never seen anyone dance before. I mean, she did moves there that I don't know if you can do it, really. It was incredible. God set her free through dancing. God wants to do the same with us. He's not here to do something crazy or you must follow this specific way of doing things. He just wants our eyes to open so that we can understand what he's saying to us, so that we can turn, so that we can be healed. God wants to heal us. He not just wants to heal us, he wants to heal this whole nation. But we need to have eyes to see. Are you with me? Okay, good. I'm going to quickly run through causes of this blindness. What is the causes of the spiritual blindness? The first one is Ezekiel 12 verse 2. Okay? Ezekiel 12 verse 2 says, Son of man, you are living among a rebellious people. They have eyes to see, but do not see, and ears to hear, but do not hear, for they are a rebellious people. What is rebellious people? It's basically disobedient. Okay? The Strong's Dictionary says for that rebellious word there, bitterness. You're actually bitter about what happened, and therefore you're not going to obey. If we're in a rebellious state, you know, you always hear of the teenagers who are so rebellious. Okay, if we're in a rebellious state, if we're not obedient to what God says, our eyes are not going to be open. We're not going to see what Jesus is showing us in his word. Okay, the second one, Zephaniah, I think, 1 verse 17. I will bring such distress on all people that they will grope about like those who are blind because they have sinned against the Lord. Okay, we will stay blind when we are walking in known sin. I'm not talking if you're doing and you don't even realize it. I'm talking about you know you're doing something that is not according to God's will or according to his word. You're missing the mark. You're sinning and you keep on walking in it. Then our eyes will stay blind. It's almost like a vicious cycle, isn't it? Because when you're in the sin, you can't read the word, so you can't get to a place where you can repent of what's going on in your life. Known sin, rebellion, and then the last one we find in John 9, the last one is pride. Okay? So what happened here is that Jesus healed a guy that was blind from birth. The first time this ever happened, go read the whole story in John 9, Jesus heals a man who was blind from birth. What does the Pharisees do? They get angry at him. He just healed a man who was blind, who now can see for the first time in his life. There must be a big celebration. Do you agree? That's like, what? Who is this man? We need to know this man who just healed someone who was blind from death. But no, they get angry at him. And what does Jesus say to them? Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see and those who see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What? Are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." It's a deep scripture. Let me explain it to you. They thought they can do things without Jesus. And Jesus said, "You will remain blind. But if you admitted that you are blind and you need Jesus, you will see." We cannot see without Jesus. We need him. But if we walk like the Pharisees in pride that I've got this, whenever you think I understand the word, then I just want to say to you, you are blind. Okay? Because we cannot understand the word. We need Jesus to every day impart to us more and more and more. I mean, I've read the same scripture how many times, and every day it is something different. It's like God just gives me something more. He's opening my eyes more and more. Okay, so that was the three courses. Okay? Just so that we like Afrikaans today. Three courses of spiritual blindness. Rebellion, Cindy. Pride, sin. Thanks, Cindy. I also always count on Cindy. Okay, so how do we get rid of that? We repent, okay? We repent. We say, "Lord," and guys, I've done this. I was one time on my way to go and teach on repentance. And as I'm driving, I say to the Lord, "Ach Lord, just if there's something in my life that I need to repent of," like saying it like there's nothing, but just to be a good Christian, I'm going to ask you, "Is there something that I need to repent of?" And as I'm driving and asking that, immediately God shows me that. Like, oh my head, yes, that. That's actually bad, Lord. I actually forgot about that. And so I'm driving, I'm repenting. "Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for doing this. I'm sorry for saying that." And I'm like, whoop, I'm done, driving on. And as I'm driving, the Holy Spirit speaks to me and says to me, "Are you not going to change it? So you repented about it now, but you're actually going to change the way you were acting." You see, sometimes we don't even realize that there's stuff in our lives. So we actually need to ask God, "Lord, show me," and he is faithful to show. And then we need to turn from it. So repentance means actually to say sorry and repent from it, but it actually means to turn in the other direction. It doesn't help just to say I'm sorry. You actually have to change the way you are doing it. And I've got good news. The Holy Spirit helps us with that before you get to worried. Okay. What do we have to get to? How do we get our eyes open? Well, we repent of those things. But Jesus opens our eyes. Jesus opened our eyes. And I want to read to you Mark 8 from verse 22 to 26. Okay. They came to Bethsaida, I think, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened. His sight was restored and he saw everything clearly. I read this scripture in the week, and as I'm reading it, I'm like, something's bothering me here, you know, because Surely, if Jesus prays for someone the first time, they will get healed. Have you heard of people saying, you know, even Jesus have to pray twice for someone to get healed? Now, I don't agree with that because it doesn't agree with the rest of Scripture. That's the only time that Jesus prayed twice. And it's not like the guy didn't get healed the first. What did he see? He said, I see people like trees. So I was like, okay. I listened to a sermon this week. I forgot about like my questions about it. Then I listened to a sermon this week and the guy starts speaking about Mark 8. Now I was stuck in Mark 8 this week. So immediately I'm like, this was not the, you know, name of the sermon. Like, where's Mark 8 coming from now? And then he started speaking about this verse. And he said, he heard someone saying, just like this, he heard someone saying that, you know, even Jesus has to pray twice for someone to get healed. And he was like, that doesn't sit with him. I was like, yeah, what is this? Now I'm like, what is going on here? So he went to so many scriptures in the Word where it says that God, that we as people in the Bible are seen as trees. It's remarkable. I want to list the whole to you, but I'm not going to do it now. But just think of Psalm 1. You will be like a tree planted by the water. Okay? Then one that really sort of is freaky, you know, is in the Bible. The Bible is freaky. Zechariah, Stephen, I didn't put that one in there. Zechariah is seeing this vision, and what he's seeing is there are two trees standing. He said, then I asked the angel, what are these two olive trees on the right and on the left of the lampstand? And he answered, he said, these are the two who are anointed to serve the Lord of all the earth. Zechariah saw them as trees. He saw trees, and the angel said to him, it's men who serve God. Now, this freaked me out a little bit because this guy said, you know what? This is a spiritual book. We cannot read it with our own eyes. We need God to open our spiritual eyes to see what he's saying. Now, when this eyes start to open, we're like, okay, so what did Jesus do here? Jesus first opened his spiritual eyes. This guy, the first time Jesus prayed for him, why did Jesus even ask him, what do you see? It's not like he didn't know. He said, I see men as trees walking. I see men as trees. He opened his spiritual eyes to see. Then Jesus like, oops. No, I'm joking. It wasn't oops. He just said, okay, let's pray for you again. And then he saw like we are seeing. Guys, God is so much bigger than what we can imagine or where we put him in. He has so much more for us. And it's in this word. And he wants to reveal it and break it open for us so that we can be healed. He's saying, look to me. Look to me. The last few weeks, it's just like my head is so full of stuff. But when I get home, I'm like, I'm going to read the word. Even when I don't understand, even if I'm not really listening, I just know I need you, Lord. I need you. I need the word to fill me. I need to get the truth into me. I need to hear it. So I want to encourage you today. Before I now go on with all my stories. He saw ministries. Now this guy, he said, God actually showed him, just go to the previous verses. Okay, I think it's the next one, Stephen. Here, Jesus is getting in the boat with the disciples, and he is saying to them, did you bring bread? No, they brought bread. He said, watch out for the leaven of the Pharisees. The disciples are like, what? We didn't bring enough bread. No, they're talking about bread. So they're missing the whole point of Jesus saying, watch out for the leaven of the Pharisees. So Jesus said to them, aware of their disgust, and Jesus asked them, why are you still talking about bread, having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see? and ears but fail to hear, and don't you remember? Just like you're looking with your natural eyes, you're actually blind. I want to open your eyes for you so that you can see what I want you to see in my word. I want you to see Jesus. Okay? Are you all still with me? Not too confused, not feeling like this is funny, strange. Okay, excellent. Jesus want to open our eyes so that we can see. There's a way that he opens our eyes, and that is through the help of the Holy Spirit. You see, we can read this book until we're blue in the face and stay the same. Or we can take this book in the morning when I read, I said, Lord, I don't know what's going on here, but I know you do. As I'm praying, Holy Spirit, that you will open my eyes to see you. You know, the word says in Hebrew 4, it says this word is sharper than a two-edged sword. Okay? It cuts. It says it's alive. It says it shows us the intention of our heart. If it's not showing us the intention of our heart, we're not seeing yet. So we need to pray that Jesus will open our eyes to see. Okay? You with me? Okay. Good. Now to the exciting part. This week, we're doing a three-day fast. I know. I got so many responses saying to me, yes, we cannot wait. You know, we cannot wait to do this fast. This is like our highlight of the year. You know, as long as I don't have to eat, I'm happy. Okay? But Jesus said, when he goes away, his people will fast. Because we want his ways. Because we want to walk in his ways. And we need him. You know what happened to Paul on the road to Damascus? The bright light came. He was blind for 3 days. And he went without water or food for 3 days. And then the guy came to pray for him, that his eyes were open and that he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then the next verse, Stephen. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Last week already, God gave me this verse. And he said, I want to open eyes. Then I didn't understand it. But now we're getting to a place where we say, Lord, I'm desperate for you, and I want my eyes to be opened. As I was thinking and praying about the fast, the Lord said to me, you're going to fast and pray for other people, not just for yourselves. I was thinking, wow, that's good. That's amazing, you know. Yes, I love praying for other people. And then when I got this, I realized when our eyes open to see the word, there's no way we can be living for ourselves anymore. There's no way that things can just be about us. Some scriptures that I'm thinking of, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Do unto others what you want to be done in yourselves. Outdo each other in showing honor. Deny yourself and follow Jesus. When our eyes open to the word, life is not about me and my happiness and my comfort and what I want in life, but it's about God and his people. I can tell you, I'm so excited tomorrow to fast and pray for Shofar Standerton. Like, I think that's just like, I cannot wait. It's like I want to like break things and proclaim things because they're going through such a tough time. But I'm like, God has called us to stand together as believers and pray for his will to come. And at the same time, our eyes is on Jesus, because then we're not looking to ourselves. You agree? Amen. I'm going to end with the last verse. It's in Isaiah 4, verse 1. Again, this was from the guy, the sermon I listened to. And it just floored me. In that day, seven women will take hold of one man and say, "We will eat our own food and provide our own clothes. Only let us be called by your name. Take away our disgrace." And after he read it, he said, "Wow, didn't that minister to you?" And everyone laughed because no one understood it. I was also laughing, okay? Then he said, "Let me show you what the scripture says." Okay? Just stay with me. Women in the church, in the Bible, always represent like churches. When they say seven women, it refers to the seven churches in Revelation. Go read, there's seven churches there. Okay, so this whole verse is referring to the end times. Okay, it says, we'll take hold of one man. Who's the one man? It's Jesus. Okay, so seven women, the churches in the end times, will take hold of one man who is Jesus. And they will eat their own food. Now listen to this. Food is what we get, right? They will eat their own food. In other words, he says, people will start preaching and teaching their own stuff. You know, maybe get a little bit from here, but then do it like we want it to work for us. And will provide their own clothes. What does that mean? Clothes always represents righteousness. Because Jesus says, "I will give you new clothes." They said, "Don't worry, Jesus. We'll provide our own teachings. We'll provide our own righteousness. We just want to live under your name." Okay? So this really hit me. That for us today, what we want to do is, we want to be Christians, right? And Jesus must be our king, but we want to live by our own teachings, our own ways, and our own righteousness. What is our own righteousness? Working, doing our things, trying to do it our way, and not saying, "Lord, by your grace. By your grace." So I want to pray for us today that our eyes will open to Jesus' word, not to anything else. I want to tell you, this is a safe space, but the world is going crazy. They are busy taking God's word and saying all kinds of stuff in it. And amazing Christians are getting deceived. God wants to open our eyes so that we see his word and follow it. This week when we fast, let's put our eyes on Jesus. Okay? Let's close our eyes.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.